Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
All right, it is 8:40 on this Monday morning. If you were tuned into any of the NFL games over the weekend, you might have seen this stat, and it's an interesting one. 14 of the NFL's 32 starting quarterbacks were black, and that has not happened before. The rise of the black quarterback is something that is, relatively speaking, a new thing, and it's chronicled in the book Rocket Men, The Black Quarterbacks Who Revolutionized Pro Football by John Eisenberg, who's on the line with us right now. John, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. What was your inspiration for this book? What made you decide that you wanted to chronicle the rise of the black quarterback?
Well, I've been a sports writer for 40 years, first in Dallas, and then I've been in Baltimore a long time. I wrote sports columns for the Baltimore Sun. And in my books and all my writing, race has always been a thread. You're a sports writer in that era. Certainly, race has always been a thread. I've written about it, chronicled it. And in Baltimore here where I am, Lamar Jackson landed 5 years ago. And he was a quarterback, a great talented quarterback, but yet coming into the NFL, there were scouts at the combine that thought he should be a wide receiver. So, then watching that, and then in his second year in the NFL, he's an MVP. And so, that just got me thinking. I'm always looking for book subjects. And I thought, you know, golly, we're a century into the history of pro football, and we are still dealing with some of the stereotyping and ideas because, you know, that's what happened to black quarterbacks back in the day. They didn't get to play quarterback. So I thought, why don't I do what I do, a deep dive, and chronicle this story. How did we get here that it took so long for black quarterbacks to achieve such star status in the NFL? So that's what I did.
Well, it's a great question, a great jumping off point for this book because, I mean, you look at the NFL and you see a lot of black players and you say, well, you know, we must have conquered racism within football. I mean, it still exists, and let's not kid ourselves, but there are so many black players, but at quarterback, it has been a slow rise. Why is that?
Well, the sad tale is that it was, for many years, there were many, it was denial by stereotype, really, for black athletes who wanted to play quarterback in pro football, and those stereotypes were just racist myths about them that they weren't smart enough to play quarterback and handle the signal calling. Maybe they weren't good enough leaders. They wouldn't put the time in. You know, did they have the discipline? All these questions that were just racist. And coming out of the 40s and 50s and those eras, and it just prevailed into the 60s, the 70s. And it was just a very hard thing for black quarterbacks to get beyond. I mean, it took, and what I chronicle in the book is the few guys that started knocking on the door and started to prove it wrong, and then how things have gotten better. And as you said, you're right. Things are not certainly 100% good now, even now with those 14 starters, but it was many, many years of very tough going for black quarterbacks.
Well, and so let's talk about where it started. I mean, Warren Moon, obviously, you know, has to figure in there. You know, the only black quarterback in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Who right. else? Who are some of the other stories?
Well, in the 80s is when you saw Marlon Briscoe was the first modern pro black quarterback, played 5 games for the Denver Broncos in the late 60s. You really didn't see it start to change until the 80s with Warren, when Warren came into the NFL. Doug Williams won a Super Bowl, starting for the Washington then Redskins in 1988. Randall Cunningham played for the Philadelphia Eagles, starting in the late 80s, was an MVP in the league, just a superstar. And so that's your first generation of guys that got onto the field in situations where ownership and coaches were willing to look beyond those racist myths and play black quarterbacks, and they succeeded. And just with every game that they played and won, especially Doug Williams in the Super Bowl, it just disproved all those racist myths. And sort of opened the doors to the idea, and then you began to see more teams in the 90s giving black quarterbacks a chance. And there's been an ebb and flow situation since then, some successes, some failures, but certainly nothing like we're seeing today, which is a wonderful thing to see, but also, to me at least, sort of an indication of what could have been all these years.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if not for those racist stereotypes and exclusion, yeah, who knows what could have been. As you did your research for this book, John, what surprised you? Were there some things that jumped out, maybe untold stories or things that that opened your eyes?
Oh, gosh. Well, I did an interview with James Harris, who played for the Los Angeles Rams in the 1970s, took them to two conference championship games. Really the first, I said Marlon Briscoe was the first, but James is the first one where a team said, we want you to be our starter, and gave him a couple of years worth of it. And he was drafted by the Buffalo Bills in 1969. There were no black quarterbacks in football. It was the same year O.J. Simpson showed up in Buffalo, coincidentally. And so he gets up to Buffalo. He's out of Grambling, and he's trying to make this team. There are no black quarterbacks. He's facing all this history and stereotyping, and he doesn't have a contract yet. His college coach, Eddie Robinson, is negotiating his contract. And he goes to the Bills and says, I need some spending money. I want to go buy a sandwich while the... And they gave him a job cleaning his teammates' cleats in the locker room. And so, this is what was what they thought of him. He wound up winning the starting job that year for Buffalo in training camp, starts the season opener, gets benched in the first half, and barely plays again for the Bills, and finally shows up 5 years later with the L.A. Rams and shows that, yes, indeed, he could have been a good quarterback all along, and he wound up having a good career. It could have been even better.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff. What are some of the challenges that remain for black players in the NFL, John?
For black players, I think that, the black players, I mean, the black quarterbacks, I think it's clear, the black population of quarterback is still maybe half that on a percentage basis of the white population of quarterback. So there's still some sort of reflexive nod towards white players at that position, even with the black quarterback rising. But for black players in general, certainly they've achieved a great, I mean, at 58% of the league is black. People of color is close to 70%. So the NFL has come a long way. I mean, they are dealing with a league, though, that is where the power structure certainly is white. The owners, they're having a problem in the NFL, no question, with getting minority coaches, black coaches. Right. Most of the head coaches are white. So, they're still fighting a situation where the people over them are white. And, it's just, it's sort of hints at sort of some old school situations where the whites are in charge. So they are still dealing with that, the black players in the NFL.
Very interesting. It's an interesting read. And if you're interested at all in the NFL and certainly some inside stories, you'll find them in Rocket Men, The Black Quarterbacks Who Revolutionized Pro Football by John Eisenberg. John, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Bye-bye.